This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Riyadh, they're like a Rodam in Riyadh al-Jannah. They're like a garden from the gardens of paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tune our hearts in, and from the blessing of that, having the intention to at least resemble those who've established these true gatherings, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless us to experience something of that paradisical-like state brought forth to the people here in this dunya, that when they do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are at the tail end of the first sphere. And so in the translation, we are in the middle of page 36. And as we mentioned on Thursday, inshallah we'll finish these last three paragraphs, and then we'll do a quick review of this chapter, highlighting the most important points, and field any questions. We want to make sure that we understand this before we move on. So I hope everyone took the time to review and to look over what we've already discussed. So if there are any questions, that we can try to deal with them, inshallah. So he says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa nafa'ana bih, وَأَمَّا الْأَعْمَالُ فَالْمَنَّةُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى فِيهَا ظَاهِرَةً. Good deeds are thus a clear manifestation of Allah's favor upon the servant. وَدْوَابُ تَقْصِيرُ فِي شُكْرِهَا حَادَةٌ دَائِمَةٌ حَاضِرَةٌ. And deficiency in giving due thanks for them is his constant state. فَالشَّاكِرُ ذَاكِرُ صَائِمٌ قَائِمٌ مَثَلًا خَوْفُهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ غَيْرَهِ لِعَظِيمِ مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَقِلَّةِ شُكْرِ وَكَثِيرِ كَثْرَةِ تَقْصِيرَهُ. Thus, for example, someone who is grateful, remembers Allah, fasts and stands in prayer at night, will fear Allah much more than others who perform fewer good deeds than him. This is due to his realization of the tremendous favor of Allah upon him, of his lack of gratitude, and of his many shortcomings. Whereas normally you think that it would be the opposite. Okay, so again, he's talking about a'mal, and again, as we've always translated it here, that it's the plural of amal, and good deeds or actions. And that the Allah's favor upon us in relation to them is apparent. It's very clear. And that we know no matter that how much we give thanks for him, we will always fall short in truly giving thanks for a single blessing, let alone all of the blessings associated, all of the blessings associated with one righteous deed, let alone all of the righteous deeds that Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to do. And that he then shows us how, actually, is that the more worshipful we become, the greater that our deeds are, is that it will actually that lead to us having more fear from Allah. And this is because, is that the more good deeds that we do, the people that are in this state, the more that they realize is that this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the more they all realize is that they have a lack of gratitude, they show a lack of gratitude for it, and they realize how short that they become, how short they fall in all of these areas. Which is amazing to think about that. The people who worship Allah the best are the most humble of people. They're the most broken of people. They're the most thankful of people. And that more than anyone else, is that they attribute taqsir, shortcomings, to themselves in a ways that other people simply don't. This is how we want to be. This is what we want our state of heart to be. And I believe we quoted the verse yesterday, but we didn't point out this aspect of the verse, or the day before, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصَرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ فَاجَةً. And that when the victory of Allah and the opening comes, and you see people entering into the deen of Allah in groups, what does Allah say? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِكَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرَ. So glorify the places of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. SubhanAllah. It's speaking about fath and nasr. So not put your head high, pat yourself on the back, that notice what an amazing job that you did in relation to that. No. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Glorify the praises of your Lord, wastaghfirah, and seek His forgiveness. You're seeking forgiveness for doing good, which is ajeeb. And one of the greatest meanings of this we find in our prayer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What is the first thing that we do? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. We just prayed. We did one of the best forms of worship of all. And the very first thing that we do is, we seek forgiveness. Teaching us, and everything that it is that we do, is that we immediately seek the forgiveness of Allah in a very real way. That we recognize we fell short. Even though we prayed the very best prayer we possibly could, still we're going to fall short. We're not going to worship Him as He deserves to be worshipped, let alone if we have neglected parts of the prayer that should not have been neglected. This is the adab of the righteous. They do an abundant amount of actions, but they remain humble and broken before Allah Jalla Jalalu. And then he says, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ ذَٰلِكَ. If you are aware of this, عَلَمْتَ أَنَّ الْعَامِلَ الْكَامِلَ قَدْ يَخَافْ مِنْ وُجُودِ عَمَلِهِ خَوْفًا مِنْ نَظْرِهِ إِلَيْهِ وَتَعْوِيلِهِ عَلَيْهِ لِشُهُودِ مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِهِ وَقِلَّةِ شُكْرِ بِسَبَبِهِ فَكَيْفَ يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَيْهِ. If you're aware of this, then you would realize that the scholar who has attained perfection, human perfection, might fear his deeds. Not sins, of course they fear sins. Might fear his good deeds. He is afraid of magnifying them or relying upon them because he witnesses that his performance of those deeds is a blessing from Allah. He also witnesses his inability to give thanks for them. So how can he rely upon them? What an amazing state. This is al-amal al-kamil. So an amal is the one who's working. He's the one who's doing righteous deeds. But he reaches the state of kamal, when you reach the state of human perfection in these things, is that it might even be that they start fearing the performance of their deeds. Now, it's not a fear that causes them not to do righteous deeds. No, they still do righteous deeds. It's a different type of fear. It's a fear of his nazar ilayh, that they're going to start noticing them, that they're going to start that being preoccupied with him and attributing them to his own self. Or it's that he will become aware of the fact that he that falls short in giving thanks for them. Which that's definitely going to be the case no matter how much it is that we give thanks. So then he puts forth the question, فَكَيْفَ يَعْتَمِدْ عَلَيْهِ. How then could he ever rely upon his actions? In other words, is that we perform our deeds and we do so sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't rely upon them. And what is meant by that is that our reliance is upon the bounty of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And we're entirely that aware that He is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala that gave us tawfiq to do those actions. Were it not to be for His tawfiq, we would simply not have been able to perform them. And so then he ends this chapter with something beautiful. فَمَا الْعَمَلُ مَقْصُولُ لَهُ إِلَّا مِنْ هَيْثُ شُهُودِ الْمِنَّ وَاتِّبَاعِ الطَّرِيقِ وَامْتِثَالِ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ بِفِعْلِهِ وَأَنَّهُ جَعَلُ سُبْحَانَهُ بَابَ قُرْبِهِ وَمَفْتَاحَ حُبِّهِ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. What an amazing way to end his discussion of outward deeds. Good deeds are thus only performed for the purpose of witnessing Allah's favor. Maqsoolo. What's the purpose? Is that what's called shuhud al-minna. Shuhud al-minna is that where you realize the bounty of Allah upon you. You are aware of the divine favor upon you. And you don't attribute anything to yourself. You see it being entirely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the whole purpose of these acts. Wattiba' al-tariq, and to follow the path. Because again, this language that we use all indicates that we're traveling on a path, which indeed we are, whether we realize it or not. There is a tariq, there is a path. And this is understood. This right there in the Fatiha. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. The sirat, which is a path. The right path. The straight path. And so then he says that in obeying Allah's commands, what's the whole purpose of acts also? Imtithal amrillah. Is it so we fulfill the command of Allah. And this is one of the most noble of all intentions that we can make. Why? Because there's nothing then that relates to us in terms of that action. If your motivation behind that action is imtithal amrillah, that's your impulse, that's your motivation. You want to fulfill the command of Allah. What portion as a servant of Allah Ta'ala do you have then of that action? You're doing it for Allah. He's commanded you to do it, khalas, you do it. Right? But then also, is that a valid intention is to also have what's called tashwiq, where the source of motivation is longing to be in the Divine Presence and hoping to become beloved to Him. So وَأَنُهُ جَعَلُ سُبْحَانُهُ بَابَ قُرْبِهِ, is that He has made that righteous deeds the door to His proximity. The door to His proximity. And that one of the righteous that mentioned to us a beautiful dua, اللهم أنسني بأنسك وقربني بقربك. O Allah, that grant me the intimacy of your remembrance and draw me near that through your proximity and make me proximate to you, make me near to you. But the way that it's said in Arabic is that the same word that's used for the noun is used in verbal form on the second form, meaning that, O Allah, that I am, that want my intimacy to be with your remembrance, and I want my closeness to be to you. And so, that the righteous deeds are the door to His proximity. Bab qurbihi. And then miftah hubbihi. Allahu Akbar. And they're the key to His love. So again, He's setting the frame. And I guarantee you, if someone enters into this deen, or they're raised from the time that they're young with this frame, a lot of the problems that other people have, that when they're older, when they go through those difficult teenage years and beyond, or they're struggling with their deen a little bit, these people who are that grounded in this type of understanding will not tend to have those same problems, because they have got the frame correct from the beginning. That is the frame. This is the frame behind the different things that we do outwardly. Whereas a lot of other people just see it as repetitive, they see it as cumbersome, they see it as whatever, rules. No. Is that all of those things that we're talking about, bab qurbi, they're the door to His proximity, and they're the key to His love. But, وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ, is that enabling grace is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's just quickly review some of what we've already taken. And so that way, we can start the next sphere, inshallah ta'ala, having fully understood. So he says here, and we're just going to review, that the two shahadas, so saying La ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasulullah, is that they that include, encapsulate all matters of the deen in general. La ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasulullah. So that's the shahadah. It's how we enter into the da'irah of Islam and Iman, the sphere of that submission and of faith. So that's where it all begins. And that then he went on to tell us is that actions themselves, a'mal, that good deeds themselves, the whole reason is that they have been legislated is for what? Is that to support our religion and to that strengthen the meanings of the two shahadas and to that give us a higher level of certainty. So the whole purpose of acting outwardly is that it strengthens the foundations. It makes your faith deeper. It gives you more certainty. And it builds your spiritual edifice stronger. And then he said, and each one of these is, mashallah, could be, you know, a quote in and of itself. غَرْسُ شَجَرَةِ الدِّينِ بِبَدْرَةِ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ فِي الْقَلْبِ صَالِحِ وَالسَّقِيُّ بِمَا الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ. And then he said that planting the tree of the deen with the seed of the two shahadas in the arable heart, the heart that is ready to have things grown in it. And it's watered with righteous deeds. Okay, so the shajar of the deen, if you imagine the religion as a tree, is it, its seed is the shahadatain. And then the way that you water that seed that has been planted is by doing a'mal salih, is by doing righteous deeds. And then he reminded us that if we're performing righteous deeds and that we're not experiencing or noticing that our deen strengthening or our certainty that becoming greater, is that we have to know that this is because of some type of deficiency in the way that it is that we're performing those good deeds. And it could be that a lack of sincerity, it could be a lack of truthfulness, it could be some type of disease of the heart. He mentioned examples. Or it could be that the frame that we are viewing those through is somehow that incomplete. So we have to be aware. And that the sign that the heart is truly alive and healthy, and the sign that the heart is pious and righteous, is that we become happy with right guidance and faith. And we find ourselves disinclining towards and literally hating kufr, disbelief, fusuq, rebellion, and isyan, disobedience. And then further signs that our heart is alive and well and healthy and pious is that we love khair, we love to do good in whatever form. And we love the people who do good. And we benefit from the remembrance that we make, from the admonitions and the reminders that we hear, and from the recitation of the Quran. So these are all signs. This is the anwan of the qulub as-saliha, is what was mentioned. And then he gave us five ways to view righteous deeds. And again, this is setting the frame correctly. First is that they're a gift from Allah. They're a hadiyah. They're a gift from Allah. They're a gift. And viewing them as such, if someone gives you a gift, what did you do to receive that gift? No, they just gave you something. They gave you something. It wasn't because of something you did, they gave you something. So you don't attribute it to yourself if someone gives you a gift. So those, even though you're the ones doing them, they're a gift from Allah, number one. Two, is that they're from His bounty. Three, is that they are the greatest sign of those who He wants to bring near to Him. And four, is that they are a key to His acceptance. And if Allah Ta'ala accepts someone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah, is that not only will He forgive that person's sins, He will enter that person into paradise, and He will shower upon them the blessings that the human tongue is unable to express the reality of. And then finally, they're the door to His contentment and everlasting bliss. So why is He saying this? So that you and I can have that correct frame. As we go through life, this is what we want to do. We want to increase in a'mal salihah. It doesn't mean that you don't live in the dunya. You do. Is that, yes, many of us will go on to have careers, many of us will have families, many of us will do a number of different things in life, and all of that is okay. And if we make a righteous intention, of course it's not only okay, it becomes a way for us to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that what we always need to recognize in this whole path is the importance of a'mal salihah. We always want to increase in them. And that this is another that way that we can judge ourselves based upon that where we're at. That are we increasing? Are we decreasing? Are we consistent? What we were doing previously, have we been able to maintain at a later time? So this is all of the utmost importance. And then he said this beautiful statement, is that the one who turns away from righteous deeds, is that will not receive an opening. Just as the one that turns away from the door will not enter into the door. If the door is open, you got to go through it. But if you turn around and walk the other direction, you're not going to get to see what's inside. And the A'mal as-Salihah are that door. And they are the door to his contentment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that when we do righteous deeds, we are metaphorically knocking at the door of Allah's generosity. Every act of goodness that we do is a metaphorical knock on the door of the generosity of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. Everything that we do. And the hope is that He will pour out upon us His immense bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he ended in this last sentence of the final sphere, and that again, that how we should view this: good deeds are thus only performed for the purpose of witnessing Allah's favor, following the path and obeying Allah's commands, and due to the fact that He made them the door to His proximity and the key to His love. Enabling grace is from Allah. One of the most oft recited hadith Qudsiyah is the hadith that we've all heard. But it also helps set the frame for how we should view the faraid, the obligatory acts, and how we should view the nawafil, the supererogatory acts. And that when Allah Ta'ala says on the tongue of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hatta uhibba. And what comes before that is that nothing is more beloved to me than for my servant to perform that which I've made an obligation upon him. My servant will continue to perform supererogatory acts, Hatta uhibba, until that I love him, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. This is the whole goal, is that we become beloved to Allah Jalla Jalalu. And again, this is missing in the practice of so many different Muslims worldwide. This is the frame, and if you can understand this frame, I guarantee you will be saved from so much difficulty in trying to make sense of the craziness of the modern world in which we live. If you can hold on to this, you'll be able to understand the essential purpose of deen, of religion, of why our Prophet ﷺ was sent to humankind, why the Qur'an was revealed, why we have all of these detailed teachings of the sunnah and the scholarly commentary on them. You'll understand that clearly. And then, what we have to do is to live our lives accordingly. And to make that the single most important thing of all, that if we're asked about that, we know how to answer. We might be asked a lot of questions that we might not be able to answer. We might not have detailed answers to some of the world's problems. And increasingly the problems are going to get more and more complicated. However, is that if you ask us about this, we should know. Because those things, that yes, it might be good to provide a principled solution that to them, but you're not necessarily going to be asked about that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but you will be asked about this. What is the state of our heart? What is our approach to the deen? And then specifically, we know that there will be specific questions that when we return to Allah Jalla Jalala, that we will be asked. And so with that, that finishes the first sphere. I wanted to give everyone some time here to ask questions on this, if there are any questions, before we move on to the second sphere.
So, I'm just going to provide context. I have two questions.
Sure.
It's clear that the deen or religion is meant to transform us, to improve us spiritually. Oftentimes, like in our time, in our context, a lot of people tend to justify or rationalize the status quo, right? To not do the work, to kind of maintain what we do, and kind of like pray the five prayers and like maintain the Muslim identity with like building Islam on top of what we are, the way we live today, right? A typical American in the West, right? So my thoughts are, the questions I have is in relation to the frame. Number one, what is the definition of a righteous deed? And two, what takes precedence over what? In terms of, there's the statement, knowledge takes precedence over supererogatory worship, and then service takes precedence over knowledge, right? Kind of showing the level of importance of the types of good deeds. And then I'll just finish with, kind of just to make my question make more sense, I think. For example, a lot of people say, work is worship. for the person who's in a career. Like, don't worry, you're doing fine. You don't need to go overseas, or you don't have to, you know, take time off to study. You know, what you're doing for your family is worship. Just maintain that. Or maybe the student who loves being in books doesn't want to go work, or doesn't want to go do service, because maybe their nafs loves just to be in books and learning and nothing else, right? Or the person who wants to serve, they're comfortable doing that. They don't want to do anything else but serve. Is that the right way to approach that if they're all following the good
way? MashaAllah. So I'm going to try to repeat that. I have a problem in Ramadan when I fast, I forget, I don't catch my thoughts very quickly. No, I'm just, it happens to me all the time where thoughts that normally stick when I fast, I try to catch them and they're not there. So let me try to repeat the question, and then we'll tackle each one by one, inshallah ta'ala. A very profound and thoughtful and very important question, Allah bless you. And the backdrop to the question really is, in the time in which we live, there is an attempt by some Muslims to just kind of fit in and fulfill the status quo, do what everyone else is doing, and to almost just their approach to the religion really is just taking from it what they need to kind of live a normal life. That's kind of what I understand, right? That how do we understand that in relation to this concept that's being put forth here of a'mal sadiha, righteous deeds, including, of course, a necessary definition of what a righteous deed is, and then developing a list of priorities. How do we know what's a priority in terms of what is the most important thing for us to be doing, given our own specific circumstances? And I think there were some others in there as well. So let's start there, and then we can go from there and try to unpack this. And I think this is a human phenomenon. I think that it has happened from the earliest people. This is the nature of the dunya, is that there's a lure, and that the nature of that religious practice is that you have to put energy in if indeed that you're going to do something good. The natural state is that the nafs is ammara bisu. Is that if you're not putting energy in, the nafs will drag you to evil. It will drag you to being preoccupied with the world. And so you have to put energy in. And so from here, just to jump forward to the definition of amal sadiq, this is one way to potentially define an amal sadiq, a righteous deed, is that energy that you put in to do some form of good, to worship Allah Ta'ala. Right, that's one way. And it's not maybe the typical way of defining it, but you could see it as such. Any energy that you put into that work against the pull, the natural pull up towards the world, and the reality of that pull is taking place in your nafs and the individual desires that rise in it that cause you to incline towards certain things in the dunya. And not all of them are bad, but there's an inclination towards it. And so this is a religious phenomenon, but I would say that it is more pronounced as we get closer and closer to the end of time. And I would say that, not always, but there's special struggles with that in certain countries where you have more access to the world, and there is just making a living is harder. That, you know, and increasingly it's spilling over into the rest of the world too. But if you just look at what you need to do to get by in corporate America as opposed to a more simple type of job and a more simple city in another place in the world, just the level of stress that's involved with that and everything that you have to do, there's a huge difference. So what could come from that is a tendency to just try to fit the deen into the life that it is that you're living. Now this is where the beauty of the Sharia comes in, is that there is a level of permissibility. And the Sharia sets the guidelines where something could be not the best thing, but it's permissible. And so the good thing is that we don't have to make things difficult for everyone. As long as people are doing something that's permissible, khair. Right? And then you encourage them to do what's a little bit better. You encourage them to do that what's a little bit more scrupulous. But as long as it's the baseline of permissibility and the vastest understanding of the sacred law, khair, right? They're ala khair, because they will be in a state of good. But that's a very low bar to set. And the difficulty there is that how to transfer that to the next generation then? And how to combat the tendencies of your time, really, then, if you're just trying to that fit the deen into the world that it is that we're living. There's a lot of questions that arise there, and that personally that seems problematic to me moving forward. If everyone did that, then that what's going to be left in the generation after, or the generation after it, or the generation after it? And can someone legitimately combat forces of the time just by doing that? I think these are very important questions. But if I tie that in now into this, what you just mentioned about a'mal as-saliha, that a righteous deed is anything that you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a means for you to get close to Him. Anything that you do, that to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that there's a number of different types. And there's different ways to break them down. But that's essentially what it is. And that some of them, all of them require a righteous intention to be accepted with Allah Ta'ala. But then there are some things that are so obvious in and of themselves, like prayer. Yes, you still have to be righteous, in your, you have to have a good intention, but the prayer is an obvious one. But then there's other things that are permissible, a category of just permissible. You don't even have to make an intention when you do them. But in order for them to turn into a righteous deed, you have to make a righteous intention. And you have to make a sincere intention behind it. A sincere righteous intention. And so really, is that your entire life could be restricted to good deeds. Right? You going to the grocery store to purchase food for your family, if you make the intention, is a righteous deed. You working, you're actually fi sabilillah, to provide for your family, that's a righteous deed. And everything that you can do that's within the realm of permissibility or recommended or an obligation, all of those potentially could be righteous deeds. And then we draw near to Allah by avoiding what is makruh and haram. And so you could limit everything you do to be a means for you to get close to Allah Ta'ala. Now, the bigger question in that really is that how are you and I going to then approach religion in relation to our own lives? And I think in this regard, there's degrees. And we have to be very comfortable with where we're at and not try to jump to a place where we're not yet, but understand what's possible out there in terms of the degrees of religion and strive to move up in them. Okay? That's kind of like the summarized version. And that, if we can do that, that's the essence of what religious maturity is, to be able to do that. And so there's always something more that we can do, and not just in an outward sense. Part of it also is inward. That you know, you might be able to push yourself to do a khatam of Qur'an in Ramadan. You really have to push yourself. But then eventually that you might get to a point where it's easy for you to do a khatam. So you can do two. And you might push yourself where it's like, oh, I've got two under my belt, I could do three. And again, that's an outward thing. But then even inwardly, in terms of what you can bear, in terms of helping other people, you might in the early stages get really tired at first when you're doing community work. But then you might develop resistance over time where you can actually bear a lot more spiritually from the people that you're trying to help. There's degrees. So it could be there's outward considerations and there's inward considerations. And that whatever that you need to give yourself in order to maintain so that you can then do all these different types of righteous deeds, you must, and it's not considered to be selfish. Because your intention is to that strengthen yourself so that you can do those righteous deeds, so that you can help other people. But then this gets into the question of that how are you and I approaching our lives? What I would say is that we understand what's out there, we make a strong intention to that move to the higher degrees, but then we're realistic in where we're at. And that there's a subtle, and this is where it gets very subtle. And generally speaking, in the books of the people of the science of Tasawwuf, is that they will say, is that if Allah Ta'ala has placed you somewhere, don't try to be somewhere else. Aqim haythu aqamaka Allah. Remain where Allah Ta'ala has placed you. And this is the very first hikm of that Ibn al-Ta'ila. And the meaning indicates that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in the asbab, for you to want to move to a state of tajreed is shahwa khafiya, the subtle desires. And that if Allah ta'ala has taken you outside of the asbab, the means, and for you to want to return to the asbab, is you that coming down from a lofty aspiration. But how do you know then? This is where it gets really subtle. Is that if that's where Allah ta'ala has placed you, and you know that by taking yourself out of that position, that you somehow would not be able to fulfill, yarhamukum Allah, a right that someone has upon you, then you can't leave. But if Allah ta'ala opens up the door for you to free yourself up from the means so that you can focus more upon the deen, or that you take a lesser paying job, or for a period of time that you take time off from work or something like that without burning your bridges or whatever else, and Allah facilitates that for you, and you're not that abandoning rights that are upon you, then that's a different situation. So really, and it's like istikhara. The istikhara, you don't always get crystal clear answers, like you, not everyone sees a dream. Dreams is rare that people actually see dreams. It's really the doors that Allah opens up is the greatest sign of what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. And then over time you learn to read that sign. And the same thing is in the spiritual path, is that if you're going through a new phase of your life and you see things starting to change and Allah facilitated that for you, then if the doors open, you should go through it. Because that's an opportunity. And that it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. There could be repercussions. But that's where you have to have strong and high spiritual aspiration. And that we can't let the people that just want to remain normal prevent us from doing that. Because people of dunya will always think that you're crazy if that's the case. Is that if opportunities arise and that you want to take it to the next step, people of dunya be like, no, you're risking this, you're risking that. And that if someone should remain there, maybe what they're saying is some truth in that. But if Allah has opened the doors for this other person, no, it doesn't apply to that person. That's their perspective, that's for them, and they're trying to apply it to someone else. And it's a misapplication. I know I'm being very vague, I don't know if this makes sense or not. Then the thing really is about prioritizing a'mal al-salihah. And there's the foundational things that we all have to do. But then that prioritizing what it is that we really should be doing, the blessing there is that there's an easy way to figure it out. It's figuring out what your God-given gifts are. It lies in that, from the blessing of Allah. It's not something exterior to you. It lies in you figuring out what your God-given gifts are, and by virtue of the fitrah, it also corresponds to what you feel most passionate about. And that in addition to doing all the other things that everyone else has to do, is that you slowly start to cultivate and develop that for Allah's sake. And that will be that the greatest way for you to draw near to Allah Ta'ala individually, is figuring that out. And again, there's things that we all have to do. But where do you fit in? All of us can potentially be a piece of the puzzle. And that's what it's all about. And we have to be comfortable with the nature of the nafs. The nafs wants to be everything and do everything. No, that's nafs. We need to specialize. We need to even thank Allah for being alive. Thank Allah for even having deen. Think of Allah for even wanting to even that spend our lives serving the deen. Where did that come from? How many people never crosses their mind ever in their life? What a blessing. And then not see ourselves worthy of cleaning a toilet. And anything above that is bonus. And so that we're not worthy to clean the toilets. We're not worthy to clean a toilet. We're not. And that's our position. And then we find something that we can do. Some people go on to be teachers. Other people go on to be admin. Some people will earn money. Other people will... And they're not always static categories. Some people will do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There's different, you know, breakdowns of this. But there is a solid core of things we have to do, and this is where that when we it was ingrained in us in Dar al-Mustafa by Habib Umar, the Maqasid al-Thalatha, where it becomes so important. Ilm, Suluk, da'wah. That gives us clarity. It's crystal clear then what we want to spend our time doing. There has to be a portion of our time spent in ilm. There has to be a portion of our time spent in suluk. And there has to be a portion of time spent in da'wah. Best translated here as service of some sort. And then that these three maqasid are the ladders of ascension, of drawing near to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the point is that it differs for each person. What is the very best thing for them to be doing? I know that's kind of a very long-winded answer. I'm sure there's a follow-up. Did I miss? Like I missed something at the end. You asked something at the end of it. That's what comes to mind. Is there anything you'd like to add? Or? And so just the khulasa is that those that are just kind of taking from the deen just to kind of get by in life, we don't look down upon anyone. But it's not there's no way for this deen to be rooted in the hearts of people moving forward by that. We have to have people that have a high spiritual aspiration where that they don't want to just be changed by everything around them. They want to be agents of agents of change. Right, and that's not their intention, so to speak, like, oh, I want to be an agent of change. But by submitting to Allah Ta'ala and putting deen first, Allah will make them agents of change as a result of their high aspiration and dedication to the affair. Are there any... wow, time just flies. Doesn't it's already 7 o'clock? SubhanAllah. Any other questions on the sister side? Esmeralda? No, go ahead.
Yeah. I have a very question. Inshallah, for I guess an example, what would an example be for a righteous deed that's been accepted and you see the fruits of that, and a righteous deed that has some deficiency that where you don't see the fruits? Mm-hmm. How do we identify that in our daily?
MashaAllah. So the question is an example of a righteous deed that has been accepted and you start to see its fruits. An example of a righteous deed, for instance, that you've done that you don't necessarily see its fruits. One of the great examples is, for instance, prayer. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Indeed, that prayer is that it that prevents indecency and wrong action. And one of the signs of our prayer being accepted is that we actually ask for the prayer to be accepted. We're given tawfiq to ask Allah to accept the prayer. And then one of the other great signs of prayer being accepted is that it becomes less burdensome on us and we start to taste its sweetness. And then that one of the signs that we're receiving its fruits is that it affects other parts of our lives. So that by nature, if you are 5 times a day praying, stopping everything that you're doing, if we're praying the way we should be praying, it's going to help us be people of taqwa outside of prayer. Inna salata tanha. The prayer itself, tanha. And this is the word that used for prohibit, right? It's as if the prayer itself prohibits us from all of these things. In other words, is that the prayer protects us from these things. The prayer wards off these things from us. The prayer that pushes these things away from us. Right? In other words, that fahsha, all types of indecency and wrong action, is that the more that we establish the prayer in the way it should be established, that the greater that our lives will be outside of the prayer. That more taqwa that we'll have as we move throughout life. And so if we find that it's not having that effect, maybe that's where we got to realize, am I doing it right? Have I learned the prayer properly? Am I concentrating the way that I should? Have I spent the time learning the invocations the way that I should? Have I learned the wisdoms of the various stages of the prayer? Am I following short? Am I praying in the right way? Am I praying at the right time? Am I praying in the right place? Am I, all of these other considerations start to come in. And then we need to revisit that. Like, oh, maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to make sure that I'm praying my nafilah prayers before. Maybe I need to do those tasbihat that we mentioned, SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, 10 times each before, Ayatul Kursi. Maybe I need to start reciting Surat An-Nas before I enter into the prayer. Maybe I need to just unwind 5 minutes before I actually start praying. Whatever it might be, we need to start going back to looking at our prayer. Now sometimes there's limitations on us doing these things, but I think prayer is a great example of that. In general, that if it relates to one of these other things, the similar thing applies. Like, if you've kind of found what it is that you really want to be doing, is that it's not burdensome on you. You could put in 80 hours a week. It's just like what you do, right? It's not one of those things like, oh, I just can't wait to get done with this, right? That's one of the great signs. And then one of the fruits is that, there could be different types of fruits. It could be blessed people that you meet. It could be dreams that you eventually have. Some of the fruits might not ever be known because tribulations could be that warded off from you. Different types of blessings happen in your life. Sustenance is facilitated for you and all different types of things. So the fruits could be many, some of which are tangible, many of which are actually intangible. But this is really a key point about the difficulty of doing something. Is that once that's lifted, that's a great sign that someone's worship is being accepted, and they start to taste the sweetness of that worship, and then they consistently ask Allah Ta'ala to accept. And that's why, like every night, right, when we just break our fast, it's one of the first things you do. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Every prayer, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Or just ask Allah in English for qubul, for acceptance. And that the sign of qubul, one of the great signs, is you ask for qubul. And Sayyidina Ali taught that you should be more concerned about the acceptance of your deeds than the performance of them. Because no deeds are few if they are accepted. So, inshallah. Are there any questions on the sister side? Okay, inshallah. Ameen, Sayyid. Sayyid Ahmed. To be fat. I can make this. Ameen, Arjukum. Bismillah. Fatiha. ربنا انفعنا بما علمتنا ربي علمنا الذي ينفعنا.